ceremonies. Oh, thank you. Testimonies, questions, and then we'll dig into some of the material. Okay, so who wants to pray for us? Mary Ortiz, why don't you pray for us? I know. That's just too random selection. Hey, I'll tell you something funny. I saw this little reel. Do you guys ever watch the reels? And it was from this guy sitting in an airplane seat, and it said on top Spirit Airline, which of course I'm sure it's not true. And it says, okay, I'm your flight attendant. There's this voiceover. I'm your flight attendant. And we don't have a pilot, but we're looking for volunteers. Anyone with a valid driver's license is able to fly the plane today. If you don't volunteer, then we'll just randomly pick someone. And I don't know if any of you guys have flown lately, but that is how it feels. So I thought that was funny. Anyway,
okay. All right. Okay, Father Mary, God, thank you. I thank you that we can trust you, and you're a good pilot, and you know where we're going, and you will get us there safely. I just pray for my sisters tonight, Father, that our hearts will be open, that we will receive, that we will be able to bless one another and just press in for more of you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hey, thanks, Mary. I appreciate that. So do we have any testimonies we want to share tonight? So anybody have any testimonies? Okay. Sandy, do you want to share?
We can't hear you, Sandy.
There, hi. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, yep. Gotcha. Yep,
gotcha. So,
Sandy,
this is a simple one.
Sandy, you need to turn down your other Zoom. You need to turn down your other Zoom. You need to turn down because
Don't y'all feel like you're
yes,
in the
just to zone? Tell everybody, I've got it on my big TV for others to watch, and I've got it here. So okay. This is a little one. You know, I've been down physically. So my girlfriend came by to take me out to lunch, and I said, let's go over to Scully's. And before she got here, the Holy Spirit said, pray about it. So I said, Holy Spirit, is this where we're supposed to go? And he told me to go to the internet. I looked it up. They no longer open at 11. They open at 12. She and I would have been sitting in the cold car for an hour waiting for the place to open. And I thought, it's simple, but how interesting God wants to direct us always.
That is so good. That is really, really good.
Amen.
It's funny when we ask what we receive, right?
Right, right. So it was excellent.
That's excellent.
All right. Thank you.
Anyone else have a testimony?
I can share something simple that's related to this. And that is I had a friend. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
I had a friend who had quoted a New Age speaker on Facebook. And then there was debate, you know, you're a Christian. Should you do that? And well, it's the same kind of thing that, you know, Christians would say, but it's, you know, it's just this New Age guy. And then like, so then I'm reading what Chris Ballatin has to say about the gal with the divination and how she was saying the truth, but it was from the wrong spirit. Mm-hmm. And just the whole, that really encouraged me to realize that even though those people are saying the same thing, I should be careful about following them and listening to what they're saying, because it's not what they're saying that's bad. It's the spirit that's behind them. And I thought that was quite, God set it up that way. So I had just read that on Facebook, and then this came up from Chris. So I was really blessed by that.
That's really good. That is really good. Anyone else? So Michelle Brown, I know I didn't ask you this earlier, but can you share an edited version of your spiritual intelligence basically activation you did when you were flying home?
Sure, I'll be real quick. And then I think Abby Logan, you had your hand up. Did you have something you wanted to share? I did see you. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm from Indiana. I had flown home to Indiana, and I needed to fly back to Tampa to be at work. And I had prayed about it because it was difficult to get a flight out. It was just very difficult. And I think the playoffs or something were going on at that time. This was like March. And so the Lord said, normally I would have flown out of Indianapolis, but he said, go Dayton. And so I set everything up to get a flight out of Dayton. And then like 30 minutes later, I got a call and was like, no, you should fly out of Indianapolis, go up to Detroit, and then straight down to Tampa. And I was like, okay, I'm going to call you back in 30 minutes. Let me like pray about spiritual life. I was like, because we were in the class then with Pastor Cindy. And so I was like, Lord, I really thought you said Dayton, not Louisville, not Detroit, not Indianapolis. And I was like, yeah, I'm still getting Dayton. So I called back. I said, no, it doesn't make sense, but I'm going to go out of Dayton. So I go to Dayton and get there. And the guy says, oh yeah, we upgraded you to first class. And I was like, oh no, I just wanted a seat on the plane. Like I was like refusing first. I was like, no, girl, go sit down. We upgraded you to first class. And I was like, oh, thank you, Lord. So then I fly from Dayton to DC because that's the route you had to go leaving out of Dayton. I get to DC and from DC, I'm supposed to go to Nashville, then from Nashville to Tampa because the flights were just overbooked. And so the flight attendant calls me up and he's like, you know, I think I can get you out. You can go to Charlotte. And then from Charlotte, and I was like, well, let me think about it. I go sit back down. I was like, Lord, I thought you said from DC to Nashville, Nashville to Tampa, you know? And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to stick with it because I just flew first class for the first time in my life for free. So I'm going to do that. So I went back up to him and he was like, oh, you're probably going to be spending the night in DC because that flight's probably going to overbook. It's running late. And I was like, well, if I am, so be it. I just really believe I didn't want to tell him. I know God said, go to Nashville. Then when the flight that was supposed to be late and all that stuff, it gets there, they upgrade me to first class. Then I go to Nashville. And when we're flying to Nashville, first the pilot gets on and says, oh, we're going to get there late. We're trying to call ahead for your connecting flights. And then he says, oh, they let me go up higher. So we're going to get there early. You're going to make your connecting flights. Get to Nashville, they upgrade me to first class again. And so I fly all the way back first class for the first time in my life without paying for first class. I think that total flight cost me like $80 just because I asked the Lord what route he wanted me to take. Amen.
Spiritual Amen. Intelligence, please God. Spiritual intelligence at its best. That's right. That's right. And Abby, did you have something you wanted to share?
Yeah, it's really quick. So I was going through the module 2 and revisiting a dream, you know, and that I'd always had questions about. And I was praying about asking the Lord to kind of reveal that for me. And in the middle of my prayer, I started having what I thought was like cognitive dissonance, you know, like, why are my thoughts coming in on this? I'm supposed to be hearing from the Lord. And then I realized I was leaning into the high thought and the core value was a high value and core value. And my core value is to question myself or to assume that I can't trust myself or my thoughts. And because I always assume that they're from me, not from God. So then I go, okay, Lord, this thought seems unrelated, but does it go along with the interpretation? And sure enough, when I prayed into it, it was woven into the interpretation. And it gave me like an open door and a clear thought and some answers Wow. that I hadn't had before on the dream. So it was a huge praise for me.
That's great. Thank you so much for sharing. And I know we did not go into the high value and the core values, but that was such a pivotal part of the book process that I thought was too, because, you know, we can know that we believe this, but the core of our heart doesn't always agree with what we actually believe, you know. So that was a really, really good part of the book for sure. Does anybody have any questions before we start moving forward? Like I said, I know we're doing this at a pretty quick clip, but anybody have any questions? And if I don't see you, just unmute and holler, because sometimes it's hard with two screens to see everybody's hands. Elizabeth. Okay, Liz, you got a question? Go ahead.
I was doing the workbook on lesson 1, concealing, seeking, and finding. And I had a question, and he says that we must also grow to understand that we're accountable for what we know, which I understand, meaning that the more clearly we understand the will of God, the greater our capacity is to rebel, sin, or disobey him. And that threw me off a little bit. I don't know if you can clarify it or... I know he wrote this, Chris. I know you're not Chris, but anyone's thoughts about that, if that also jumped up at them, the more clearly we understand the will of God and learning to interpret the spiritual language of God, then the greater our capacity is to rebel, sin, or disobey him.
What page is that on? Could you tell
That's
me
what on page 47.
In the workbook?
Yeah, and it's it's not the top paragraph, but this it starts with as we learn to interpret.
It's on page It's on page 58 of the book, and I literally just read that before we hopped on. He used the angels being in the around the throne of God and how they saw and they heard God clearly and they knew his will, and yet a third of them rebelled with Satan. So he was like, we often think, well, if I heard God clearly, I would definitely obey him. But there are many examples of people, including the angels, who heard God clearly and yet rebelled. So I think that was his motivation behind that on page 58 and 59.
Yeah, the only thing I could think of was increased accountability because we were accountable for more or...
Well, because it's talking about rebellion, it's like a willful disobedience when you have an understanding, a definite of what God is saying. Mm-hmm. And then it becomes like a willful disobedience, missing it by, what's my word? When you've got a game plan and you make a choice to go an opposite way, that's the rebellion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, a good example of that is Elisha, when he went through that little moment of feeling like he was the only one and all that going on with God. Mm-hmm. It's around 1 Kings 19, I think. And God tells him, go get Elijah. Bring him on. Then he also tells him, go anoint Jehu as the king. Mm-hmm. But Elisha did not do that. Mm-hmm. He went and got Elisha, brought him up underneath, but it ended up Elisha, once Elijah was gone, sent another prophet to go anoint Jehu with as king. So there was a delay because of the disobedience of Elijah. And if you think about it, Elisha at that point in his life had, taken down the gods of Baal. He'd done all of these, multiplied the widows, all of these things. And he only did a partial obedience to what God called him to do.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, Josie, what do you have there?
I agree with... Elizabeth, and bringing this up, I highlighted it when I did it as well. And I think it's really important to go back to the sentence before that talks about accountability. And when it kind of resonates with when you know better, you do better, mm-hmm. right? You are accountable for what you know. So the more, and it's more egregious. So the more you know about, it's actually kind of scary. The more you know about the holiness of God, right? And then you go and rebel or sin or disobey him, it is like a greater insult.
Yes.
That's what I'm understanding this to be. So we think about when Satan fell from heaven, right? He had all those special privileges. And it was extraordinarily egregious to God because he had privileges and he had endowments and he had talents. And not only did he disobey, but then he brought all those others with him. Egregious.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, Mary, what do you want to add? Or do you have a different question?
It's a different question. I'm okay. On page 88, and it's the passage from Ephesians 3.
Is that book, excuse me, is that book or workbook?
It's the book.
Okay.
And this is talking about the manifold wisdom of God that has been imparted to us, that we teach the heavenly realm. So I have to admit, that's the first time I have knowingly processed that, and I'm just hungry for more thoughts on how do we teach the angels about the intelligence that we receive.
I'm not sure contextually that's what that's talking about in reading the whole thing. It's because if you go on, it says, I find it fascinating that we Jesus people are commissioned to teach those in the heavenly realm about the manifold wisdom of God. You may be asking yourself why or even how we would teach demonic princes about God's divine wisdom. Yet Paul is not talking about teaching demonic princes here. He is referring to, you're right, angelic principalities who abide in the third heaven and who are assigned to co-labor with God, with us in the divine mission. You know, and I cannot pull up where the scripture reference is, but it says in both Hebrews and both in the Gospels how, and I think in the Gospels, it's, it's either Matthew 10 or Mark 10, how the angelic long to know what we know. And that we have been given, it says something similar to that also in 1 Corinthians 2. And I can find that verse for you in the Gospels, but it's also in Hebrews, the first part of Hebrews chapters 1 or 2, about how we have wisdom beyond their wisdom, and they long to know what we know. And in that co-laboring with the angelic realm, and when we think about co-laboring with the angelic realm, it's not like all of us have a bunch of little visible angels we see, but they do co-labor with us in that invisible realm that we don't see them. And we are releasing things that have been revealed to us from God that they are gleaming from, because it's information they do not have, because they are not all-knowing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's very helpful. Thank you.
Okay. Angela?
I was just thinking in regards to the previous question that that you could think of it like when we don't understand as much and we do the wrong thing, then there's more mercy for us, and we don't even realize. But then when we go to understand, when we start understanding, and then we naturally realize we're doing the wrong thing because prior we didn't, then obviously,
yeah.
It's a harder choice to do the right thing, because we actually have to make a change, because we're so habitual in doing whatever it was that wasn't correct, that now that we know, it's more challenging to deliberately do the right thing when you're so used to and comfortable doing the wrong thing. So we're going to
excuse me, Angela, sorry about that. But even if you think about Moses, remember when God told him to do one thing and he did the opposite.
Mm.
Then, you know, that cost him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's more comfortable to do the opposite because we're so used to it without realizing.
Yeah, for sure. Michelle, you got something you want to add on that?
I've got a scripture that will help with the question about angels learning from us.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, 1 Peter 1:12. And this is from Passion Translation, but it says, God revealed to the prophets that their ministry was not for their own benefit, but for yours. And now you have heard these things from the evangelists who preach the gospel to you through the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, the gospel containing wonderful mysteries that even the angels long to get a glimpse of. And one of those things that I think has befuddled, the angelic is that that God has made us sons and daughters. Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, they're not, the angels are not created for that. That's us.
Yeah. Anyway. That's really good. That's really good.
Many mysteries.
Yeah, so many mysteries. And you know what you guys are going to see, and I'm not going to go off on this, I'm just going to say it, is there's a revelation of understanding coming forward about the sons of God. Mm-hmm. You know, Psalms 82 talks about it. It's talked about in Jeremiah 23:18. But anyhow, there's starting to be a lot of revelation about understanding us as the sons of God and the counsel of God and how we operate in partnership with that, as well, you know, just like we're talking about the angels, even though we don't have a natural eye visibility of that. So, but let's not get way off. That may be another class we may have to do, because there's let's not go there. That's my new thing. So, what we're going to do is Michelle Brown is going to lead us in our declaration, and I'm just going to ask you guys to stay muted and go ahead and say it out loud, because there's power to declare. But yeah, we're going to do that real quick. And where's my whiteboard? Oh, there it is. Never mind. Someday, Cindy.
Okay, here we go. SQ declarations. I am full of hope. The impossible seems reasonable. I live in peace and don't worry. My speculations are positive. I like myself and rejoice in my weakness, knowing that when and where I am weak, God is strong. I am quick to forgive, and I freely give others grace and mercy. I am confident and thankful. I believe in others and give them the benefit of the doubt.
I love that. That's something good to print out, write out, and say every day. Okay, let's get, there's a few things I want to just talk about first before we dig back into our project. Tonight on our project, we're going to do Explore, which I'll go into that a little bit more. The Hear, which I'll show you again, the Hear, which is Hear from God, Explore, Analyze, and Report. That was not part of the book. That was part of the class that I went to, but it's so powerful in helping us dig the depth out of what God wants to show us. So we'll go over that again. But I want to talk about a couple of things. And the first thing I want to talk about is it's on page 105. And I just want to read the first paragraph out of that. It's in the book, page 105. And it's called The Demise of Spiritual Intelligence. Of course, we didn't have to read this chapter, but I just wanted to point this out because this is important for the project that we're doing. It says, real spiritual intelligence transcends memory. It is beyond mere information and it exceeds academia. That's right. Spiritual intelligence is more than inspired ideas, creative thoughts, or ingenious inventions, although it certainly includes these dimensions. Spiritual intelligence is not just knowing, it is becoming, it is transforming, and it is a force for change that is working on us from the inside out. And the more that we participate in this spiritual intelligence, and there will be an opportunity at the end of this class to become part of a team that will take on projects. So at some point, you'll have to all send your emails to me, but part of a team that will take on projects, because we already have 1, 2, 3 people that are needing spiritual intelligence. And I have a team at my church, they're working on a project right now, but people are hungry for the wisdom of God that is beyond their capacity. You know how it is that sometimes when you're in the middle of something crazy in your life, or you're needing direction and discernment, you're so into what you're looking for, it's hard to see all the perspectives that are out there. And that's why we have intercessors. That's why we have friends that pray with us, because we need other voices to help us have clarity and move us forward. And so in this process, it would be great if there were some of you or all of you who would be interested in taking on different people and maybe heading the project as different people are sending in requests. And of course, all the people that are sending in requests to us right now are Women in Ministry Network. So be praying and thinking about that, because it would be great to build a team that could help people hear and discern from the Lord. And with that said, I want to talk a little bit about what we do with what we hear, because this will make a difference as we start going on with our project. On page 52 in the book, he talks about hieroglyphics. Did you guys see that about the hieroglyphics? We'll turn to that real quick. And he talks about what exactly that means. It actually starts on, page 52. And the word Hiero means holy, and glyphics means marks or writing. So the two together means holy writings. And then, of course, he disconnects it from the whole Egyptian thing. So we're not going to even go there with that. I don't need to reteach this. But there were a couple of very interesting points that he brought out in the videos that I thought you guys might glean from and be interested in too. And when he talked about the story of Joseph, and Joseph being able to help Pharaoh gather the grain for 7 years. So when the famine came, there would be plenty of food for everyone. But really what happened is everyone ended up selling everything to Pharaoh because they needed to eat. They needed to feed their family. So Pharaoh became a very wealthy Pharaoh. And Chris Valentin posed the question, and of course, we're talking about biblical times, so I'm not trying to rewrite Bible, but he just posed the question, what if Joseph was able to share the intel he received from his dreams with the people that lived in Egypt, and they were all able to build self-sustaining lives, so when the famine hit, they could survive without selling everything they had. And when we think about spiritual intelligence, that really is our goal. Our goal is to be able to take the intelligence that God has for us for what is coming, whether it's for individuals or whether it's for our nation or for our community or for whatever it is, and be able to use it to prepare the people in order to protect us from what's going on in the world. Does that make sense? So just think of us having this spiritual intelligence for politicians, having the spiritual intelligence, you know, for the school systems, you know, having the spiritual intelligence. I know that I heard several well-known prophets, and this was a long time ago, that when 9/11 came out, many years later, it came out that the prophets had pieces of something occurring, but they didn't quite get the pieces together in order to sound the alarm of what was about to occur. So I think us being more one in unity in the spirit as a body, and being able to cross over streams that we're not necessarily comfortable with, but carry intel that we need in order to make a greater mark on what God has for the future. And I think that's part of us understanding the power of spiritual intelligence. Yes, it's wonderful for us to be able to provide words and directions for different peoples, for companies and all that, but think of it in a more global sense of political, of, you know, even, you know, we're seeing these words come about, this whole Russia-Ukraine thing, and there were words ahead of time that came about that war that was about to occur. So, you know, I want us, our minds, to expand beyond where we are and think about our metron, our sphere of influence, and asking God to grow our sphere of influence in order for us to be able to take this anointing, this download that God has given us, and bring it into other spheres of influence. So, so that's one thing I just want to stir your minds about that. The other thing was, in the book on page 53, and I think Chris talked about it earlier, was about being at that prayer meeting when he saw the sword in the woman. And when he did the teaching with us, what he wanted to emphasize was that he's up there speaking, and that picture of a sword happened within 1 to 3 seconds. It wasn't a constant vision that he had. It wasn't this time for him to, you know, mull over the word and talk to God and spend time in his prayer closet. It was a split second. It happened in a moment's time. And in that moment's time, he had to decide, is that God? Well, one of his primary kind of checks on it was he wasn't thinking about swords. He wasn't talking about swords. And then the sword appears in this woman. So he knew that that was the hieroglyphics from God. That was the holy writing from God for that moment. And he had to decide, am I going to step into this unfamiliar, because the meeting he was at was an unfamiliar people group for him. It wasn't like he was in deep relationship with all of them. It wasn't like being at his home church, Bethel, and just hanging out. So in that moment's time, he had to decide, am I going to step in? And being able to say, okay, God, I know that that is a word from you. It came in a minute, you know, in a split second, and I'm deciding to step into that word. And he goes on to talk about it was not the most comfortable thing he did. And there was a little bit of a language issue there. But once they kind of got past the awkwardness, that woman received freedom. And he said the rest of the conference he spent pulling swords out of people, because God used that specific thing as a tool of deliverance for people who weren't familiar with, you know, some of the other avenues. And he said, I would get into a elevator and people would look at him and go, do I have a sword? Do I have a sword? Do I have a sword? And it opened up the door for deliverance, for prophetic words, for all these different things that weren't planned for the event, that he had no, that was just not on his radar. He knew God would do something, but he had no idea what. And so sometimes when we step out in that risk, and like I said, sometimes we only have seconds to decide, okay, God, I see you. I see that this is out of what's happening in front of me. So this has got to be you. And I'm going to step into it. Sometimes all of that happens in a matter of less than 5 minutes. Because if we wait much longer, the person's driven off, or the opportunity's passed, or whatever it is. So part of all of this is really learning to take those split second moments and step into what God has for us. And that really goes into this whole thing about getting these words from God for people. You know, when we receive the words from God, our job is not to edit or interpret them. That is one thing we're not supposed to do. Our job is to find the commonality among the words and piece together what God is wanting to say to this person. And in this process, it's as, especially if you've been in the charismatic, you know, stream for a long time, it's easy to see something or hear something and automatically put our experience or our past norm on top of that word and then add to what the word is saying. And we have to be careful to keep the words to what God is saying and not add what we think is the extra on it. And it is a challenging thing to do. And that's the reason we break it down is first we're going to hear and we're just going to write down everything we hear. And the second part is we're going to explore, and I'll go into that in a minute. But that is one thing that we're really going to have to kind of retrain ourselves, because when we say I'm hearing breakthrough, many times we have a sense of what breakthrough is in the eyes of God. You know, because that's been our experience of breakthrough, but breakthrough, we don't know what he means for that person. And that's part of asking questions and just writing what we hear and trying to take our norm, our past experience, our history, even you know, our bad things that have turned good, and lay it on top of other words. And I know that sounds funny, but it really is such a discipline to be able to release the word of God without anything else attached to it. Because it helps us to bring a clearer picture to that person, with them having to filter through, you know, reading. And then they're like, this part doesn't fit. And even reading through some of the words, and this is, you know, this is not condemnation on anybody, because we're learning this together. We've all done it. But even reading through part of some of these words, you know, the word was like, oh, it's right on. And then there's a slight interpretation to what the word was. And our job is not to interpret. Our job is to be scribes for God, hear from God, connect the dots by the Holy Spirit, and present it to the person so they can put it through their filter in partnership with God too. Does that make sense? So does anybody have any questions on that? Because I want to talk about one other piece of this too. No questions? Okay.
Just Cindy, really quick, like, I'm a little undone. It's just, again, the honor it is to hear what God is saying, and and to humbly take what is said and hold it in. I mean, I don't know if I know how to necessarily express what I'm feeling with this, but just the awe of being in this kind of partnership with God, to take his words and to rightly hear and not add me to it is it humbles me greatly.
Yeah, it's true. And I know, you know, when you hear back from this person who comes and she'll share some, you know, I'm gonna ask her to highlight, you know, some of the things that really stood out and just share. What'll happen is you'll feel so confirmed and encouraged. And, you know, part of this process is a little bit frustrating at times. It's a little bit awkward because you're like, am I hearing God? I told you guys the first time they did it, I was taking that class. I mean, there were times I got it right. There's times I got it wrong. There's times I got something in between. You know, it was really eye-opening because it took me and it began to sharpen and kind of break off the dull edges and really break away some of the, maybe the patterns of prophecy and those type of things that you get into. And you've got people on the other side of you that are holding you accountable without saying a word, because you're saying, is this or this or this? And they're like, no. You're like, awesome. Okay. You're like, okay, I don't know what to say. Okay, awesome. That's all I can say. And then you're like, God, you've got to sharpen me. You got to help me be, you know, hear clearer or not. I don't know about you, but sometimes, and during this process, sometimes, you know, you're in the middle of this process and there's like, oh, we're going to take 3 minutes. We're just going to be quiet for a minute. And, you know, next thing I know, I've got 3 work items checking into my brain. I've got, you know, all of a sudden my brain becomes full and I just have to start praying in the spirit to try to hone me back into what the project is and what God's trying to say to me. So Kathleen, did you have something?
Yes, Cindy, a question. When I was doing the assignment, many times the Lord will just show me pictures. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm here and not necessarily hearing words, so is that a problem in interpreting when you, because you've been saying, what is God saying? So should I listen, or should I expect something different to hear his voice, or would the pictures be acceptable? But I would then have to interpret those pictures.
Well, you just have to write down what they look like.
Okay.
Like, I see a girl with blonde hair. I see a car driving down the street. You know, the interpretation would be, I see a car driving down the street and I think it's going to the store. If you don't see a store, then that's your interpretation. Whatever the pictures, we talked about that last week in the receptors. Yeah, no problem. And it's, we have a video, a recording of it on our Women in Ministry group. Okay. And maybe Michelle, you could add that to the chat, but Michelle Burkett, but some people smell, and that's how God's talking to them. Some people taste, some people see pictures, some people have senses. So God may be talking to them, and the language is their hands are feeling warm. And so you just describe whatever's happening. Does that help at all?
Yes. Yeah, so it's not necessarily auditory when you say hear.
Absolutely. All right. Yes, yes. And that's hard because we say hear. What is God saying to you? Or do you, what is, you know, I always talk about seeing because I see. So I'll be like, oh, is God showing you anything? And they're like, no, but it's so hard because we're all different and we have those different abilities to be able to receive from God. Any other questions on that? I'm just looking to make sure I don't miss anybody. Okay. The other thing I want to talk about a little bit is, you know, the person that we do, that we're doing for our project is a Christian. So we don't worry about that. But there are times where we get people that aren't Christians, or their businesses are not Christians, but they're looking for wisdom. And so many times in doing this, we have to understand how we verbalize to another person in a report on what's going on. The ones we do, I'll let you know if the business is Christian or the person's Christian, that type of thing. I don't think I did on this female. I usually do, but many times people are looking for intel. They're looking for direction. They're looking for solutions, and using our normal language of, I saw a vision, or the Lord said to me, you know, breakthrough. We have to really think through and filter through what is the commonality in who they are that we can share without them having to filter through what our normal language is. And that's, you know, a little bit of a challenge too, because we're used to saying, you know, I just see, you know, just the spirit is moving. But how would we say that to someone who isn't a Christian? And I know the first time I actually heard of this, and I shared this a little bit, but I'm just going to say it again, about spiritual intelligence was through Lance Wallnau, and it's been 10, 15 years ago. And I was listening to him. I was following his Seven Mountain teaching that he was doing at that time. And he was talking about how he would go into businesses, he'd be invited into countries to solve problems. And he would take the problems back, lay all of his notes down on his bed, and just praying the spirit over him until he got an answer. And then he would go back and do a report or a presentation, whatever was required. And the people who were not believers would say, we've been trying to figure this out. How did you know this? How did you figure this out overnight or in a week's time? And then that was the invitation to share the gospel, to share who Jesus is, to share about where the intel came from. So I want to encourage us to think beyond the realm of the Christian body, but think about, God, send me into my business or, you know, our schools or whatever it is, and teach me how to receive that intel and be able to share it with them in their language, what they can understand, in order to open the door, the invitation to be able to share the gospel with them. I mean, you know, this, when we think about this, the, you know, going to, I know we, Patricia's done it, we've done it, we've gone to places and we've done spiritual readings. We've done Cindy McGill's, one of the famous, she goes to the porno conventions and she sets up a booth and they do, you know, that wheel of fortune, destiny readings and all of those type of things. But it's the same thing. It is the spiritual intel from God that's the breaker anointing for someone who needs to know God, who needs to come out of bondage. Who else is that? Lisa Michelle. You know, she does that. She's going into strip clubs and all that kind of stuff, rescuing people, using, you know, the presence of God. So I want us to kind of push beyond our day-to-day and say, God, put me in a position where my team can break open an opportunity for the gospel to come, the revival to happen for that person and for their community. So anyhow, okay, so that's one thing I wanted to talk about. It's just making sure that we understand the form of communication to that person. God speaks to us in a way that we understand, and he wants us to be able to speak to someone else in a way that they can understand and receive. And then let him do what he's going to do. So any questions on that? That is all I'm going to talk about in the book, unless y'all have questions. If we have a little bit of time, we could hit on one or two other things. But I want us to get to our project real quick. It's 10 till wherever you are, it's 10 till. And what we're going to do, we're going to go into the explore part of our project. And I'm just going to pop this up so we can talk about it just for a minute. So the explorer, we did hear last week. So we heard from God and we wrote down what he said. The explorer part is we're going to take what he said to us and we're going to ask him questions about it. And I'm just going to pull up a couple of here. Here's one right here. It says, what is God saying about her future? Increased communication skills impacting the audience. Okay, so the way we would explore, we'd say, okay, Lord, how is she to increase her communication skills? And whatever he says, just write it down. And how would that impact her audience? What we're trying to get is a little bit more detailed from the Lord on the things he got it. So we got the foundation, the layer one, and then layer two, we're going to go through and ask the questions of the Lord. Give me more information on this. On some things, there may not be more information that he's going to give you, but on some things, he may give you like a rose bloom, just a few more petals on it to add to your data, because we definitely want that. There was another one on here I wanted to share. Okay. So here's one. That's a good one to, you know, that's just a good example. So in the explore phase, it says network various streams of ministry to see what resonates with you. So asking the Lord, what would be some networks? You know, he might give you specifics. He may give you her name. He may give you, you know, don't hesitate to write down any details that he gives you. So what would be some specific? Is there a network in mind? Is there a type of network? Is it a all women's network? Is it one that covers every continent? You know, just ask the Lord to expound on those things for you. And we're going to do this for 15 minutes. You're going to work on your own. And then what we're going to do is when we get done with that, I'll set the timer. We'll come out of that and then we're going to go into breakout groups and share some of the additional information he's given you and begin to connect the dots with other people. But I'll explain that in the next part. So for this part, you're going to take what you've received and ask the Lord, go through each section and ask the Lord to tell you more about that section. Ask the Lord questions about what he's given you. Does that make sense? Anybody have any questions? Questions? Nope, we're all good. Okay, so we're going to start. Like I said, I'll do us a little timer And you can black out your screen if you want to. The little bell will go off when it gets done. And then, like I said, we will go into groups when we get done. Oh, we had a question. Angela, do you have a question?
Just quickly, you said take what we receive. So will you give us a synopsis of what was handed in, or do you mean what we received last week?
What you received last week. I have a synopsis, and maybe at one point I'll send that out to everybody. I have to think about that. I think we could probably do that. I just have to get everybody's emails. But let me think about that. I'm still calculating that in my brain. Yeah, Debbie, what's your question?
I had to miss last week. I was sick, but were you just asking questions for the person that you mentioned, the Christian female?
Yes, yes. And I will send you a message of what we ask, and then you can work on it. Okay, Debbie?
Thank you so much.
That way you can get started.
Thank you.
Anything else? Liz, did you have a question?
Yes. You want us to go through the three questions that you had asked us. What does God love about her? What is he saying about her future? And are there action steps? All three of those areas, or?
Yes. I want you to get through as many as you can.
Okay.
And whatever he said to you, if he said, he wants her to join the circus, asking what kind of circus, is it a literal circus? You know, just whatever that is that he's given you, begin to explore with the Lord more information about it. Does that make sense? We're good? Okay. Debbie, did you get that? I sent it. Can you click on it and open it? It's in the chat. Okay. So we're going to go ahead and start. I'll throw up a timer real quick.
A little difficult tonight for me. So,
yeah.
I mean, it is different because I am having to think different, like you said earlier, about the way you verbalize, process. Don't do the, don't think about interpreting the word yourself.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to keep from doing. And to be honest, I'm sitting there going, okay, is this me or is this God? Because is God telling me this, or is that my mind? Because you know that is the natural way to do that. Like, for example, be purposeful. Okay. So be purposeful. So if you need to be purposeful, how can you be more purposeful? Okay. Well, logic wants to step in, I think. So is it me or is it the head? I mean, is it the head or is it God type
yeah.
thing? That's what I'm trying to do.
And part of that process will be become clear as we begin to connect the dots with other people's information. In fact, I was going through while we were doing this and just reading them and circling, because it's interesting, because what we'll see is, there's patterns of prophetic that's coming through. And as we begin to share these, we will be able to identify the patterns of this. So, in fact, in here, there were a couple different ones about purpose and being purposeful, or having that purpose word in there. And so part of that process is going to be able to connect the words together and see what the context of each of those words were and what else God expanded in that. So it will unfold. And, you are thinking about, is this God or is this me? But I hope you just wrote everything down. And then, like I said, as we go through the analyze part, it will filter out the stuff, because you'll be working in teams of filtering it out. I have to go back to that one. Okay, does that make sense? Does that help at all, Tracy Lee? Yeah, good. Okay, Lynn?
Yeah. Actually, it seemed to flow for me, and it might be because my natural gift is a writer, but I wasn't trying to be logic, like what goes with what. I was just trying to go with God's flow, and I would, periodically look back at the questions and then, that we did before, and see what stood out from what I had described, and it just sort of was a launching pad for the next series of details that it seemed like the Lord wanted to expand. I felt like there was an expansiveness in this for me.
Okay, good. We'll be able to take that expansion. Let me pop this in here. A couple of people have asked for the question, so I just popped them in there. And then Philippa, what do you have? Did I lose her?
I'm there. You sorry. Are. I lowered the hand. Last week, I kept seeing an image that I thought really wasn't very helpful. And I applied some of my own thoughts on it. So that was really helpful. And I know to ask the Lord, what do you mean? What do you mean on that? But I think I got more clarity on what he meant. So this was good.
That's great. Oh, I'm sorry. Was somebody going to say something else? Did I hear a... No. Okay. So what we're going to do is I'm going to put you out in breakout groups. And this is what I want you to do, because you won't have time to go through all of your questions and everything God's expanded, right? But what I want you to do is pick out one or two where you felt like the Lord really on those, share those with your group. And that way you'll kind of get a sense for what they're hearing, what you're hearing. And then you will take a few minutes and just pray together and ask the Lord, is there something else you want to tell us about these couple of things that we shared? So like I said, we're not going to do everybody and all three questions and all two pages of answers. Just think about what sticks out, a sentence or two that God has shown you. Share it with the people in your group, let them share, and then just pray for a few minutes and ask the Lord just to show you anything else he might want to add to it, and make sure somebody writes it down, because I'm going to want these things back again. Okay, does that make sense? And we'll have about, let me give you about 10 minutes to do that, okay? Just pick one thing since we've got about 10 minutes on that. Okay, breakout rooms. And we're going to have the Holy Spirit or whatever that is. So did you see things like that? Lynn, do you have something?
Yeah, actually, I was writing down the homework when you were first talking.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. I think there was commonality in our group. It seemed to me I was able to see this picture of a mature woman of God and who was balanced, seemed to be operating in skills, character, and gifts. So it was really exciting to see this composite, which I'm sure will just continue to get bigger and bigger when we see all these other words. It was exciting to
that's great.
Put everything down that God was giving.
Mm-hmm. That is great. Natalie, did you have something? Something to add?
I do. Felt like we had some commonalities. One of the ladies, I think Lisa, said that she felt like it would delight her heart. And I saw a red wagon, and my impression was it was childlike joy in the next step in her journey when she moves to her new position. And saw her standing in a group of people in a different position. Last week I saw her sitting, and her boss was fairly far away, perhaps uninvolved was the impression I had. And this time she was standing in a group of people, almost like a consultant. And we felt like, felt like it was a political arena, and Lisa saw red and blue. And so I'm not 100% sure but I felt like it was a political arena that she would have. Oh. I kept hearing the word both weeks, the word accounting. So I think it has something to do with maybe a treasurer job. I'm not sure on that. Maybe somebody else will have that. But I felt like we had a couple of commonalities.
That's great. That is really good. How about you, Barbara?
Yes. When you talked about the images or the pictures of childlike behavior there, I saw a lot of images of childlike things. Like I had a picture of her falling backwards into a pool. I had a picture of her jumping on a trampoline, and then I got a picture of her playing hopscotch and jumping rope, and then I saw a big word in big letters, joy.
That's good. That's good.
That kind of thing.
I remember somebody else had in a picture of a young girl in a white dress last week. I remember somebody else had that. That's good. How about you, Liz?
I think our group had each one of us, someone had something from number one, question number one, two, and three. And we see her with this like a tenderness, a gentleness. We saw her as with purity, humility, and she's setting aside herself for the Lord. And one of the ladies saw her initially with a head covering, a scarf covering her head. And when she asked the Lord about that, she got Psalm 3:3, that the Lord is a shield about her, her glory and the lifter of her head.
That's and awesome.
And I had a, I saw my initial response, what is the Lord saying about her future, was that a season change was coming. And when I asked the Lord further, well, what season? And he said, springtime is coming. Mm-hmm. Newness, birthing from what looks barren. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we just had this feeling that these were very encouraging words for her, that she needed encouragement. And then I said to the group, I started feeling as if this person was kind of wounded and was coming into a bright place with the Lord. So I think we had that sense of this precious woman, this precious person who was like in, you know, like in a transition, like
mm-hmm. That's good.
Place. Mm-hmm. That's good. So there was something else, but I forgot. But she's humble now. She's humble and loves to worship the Lord.
Mm-hmm. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Yeah. And the word was about spiritual covering, that the Lord being the lifter of her head was her spiritual covering. And the minute the sister said spiritual covering, I had this sense that she needed spiritual covering. Mm-hmm. That's what I felt. But
yes.
Yeah, that she needed that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that is really good. That's really good. Well, we're going to disconnect in just one second, but I just wanted to ask Janelle, did you have something?
I did. I wasn't going to share it, but you called me out.
I just kept seeing you like highlight. I'm like, okay. I've got 3 seconds to make a decision.
Yeah. The Lord told me last week that she had a lion's roar inside of her that was going to come out. So then he said confidence. So I asked him, confidence in what? And I saw a picture in my mind of Hebrews 5:14. And I had my Passion Translation out, and the title of that part of the chapter says moving on into full maturity. And so then verse 14 says, but solid food is for the mature whose spiritual senses perceive heavenly matters, and they have been adequately trained by what they've experienced to emerge with understanding of the difference between what is truly excellent and what is evil and harmful. And so I had that highlighted, and underneath it in my Bible, it says discernment. And so I don't think it was my interpretation that that's what it meant. I felt like the Lord was leading me puzzle piece by puzzle piece. And that's that good. The confidence is going to be in her discernment.
That is awesome. Well, good. These are great. I'm so excited. Like I said, I've read through them and just hearing everything start, see how it's going to all start pieced together. And I think we're all going to be blown away about what the Lord reveals through this. So I know we're a couple minutes over. Let me pray for us. Make sure your emails, I can leave it open for another minute. I know Michelle Burkett has to go, but make sure your emails are in there. Make sure you grab the the homework and send me everything by Friday. Do I need to put by Friday? By Friday. And then I'll send everything. I'll send everybody's back to you by Saturday. Okay. Tracy Lee, there's Conway Refuge. There's no app anything. So I don't know. Did we forget part of it? Yeah. So let me just pray over you guys. Guys, thank you so much, Lord. Thank you for pouring in. Hi, Philippa's little child, wherever it went. Hey. He's like, get my mom off this call so she can come play with me. So, yes, Lord, we just thank you for families. We thank you for just intel, just downloads, just the beauty of your words that flow over us. And I just thank you that you cover, you protect us, and you just enjoy this journey with us. So give us more, Lord. Expand our thinking. Give us dreams and visions, and activate all of our senses to be closer and a deeper encounter with you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. If you're done, you can go ahead and log off. And like I said, I'll stay on for another minute or two, make sure everybody gets on. Thank you, guys. I love being with y'all.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bye, guys. Love you.
Bye.
Thank you so much. It was fun.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Hey, Michelle. Thank you. It was fun. Love you too. Bye.